This is your first time here, or you've been here just a few times, this altar is open all the time, and you're more than welcome to pray up here all the time, no matter what you're going through, no matter where you've been, no matter what you've done, you are welcome to pray in the altar, and you're not too young, and you're not too old. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Amen. So I want to preach today directed toward the kids, the children, and on how much they mean to God, and on why we need to invest in them. And we need to let the children praise God. Let them obey the Lord. And I believe the greatest way to reach the lost is to reach the children with the gospel of Jesus Christ. I've heard it said is that when you take a child by the hand, you take a parent by the heart. Every Sunday in this week are the greatest opportunities to tell them about Jesus Christ. This week, as we tell them about Jesus, they're going to repeat it. When they go home, they're going to repeat this glorious message that they've heard, the message of hope. And the way to a parent's heart, and you all know this, is through their child, to be able to give them the message of hope and the message of love. And we know that God is wanting us to reach the children, not just the children, but the parents. And, you know, nearly 80% of people in our churches today decide to follow Jesus before age 18. 80%. And you ask me why we need to reach children, why we need to reach youth. This is the reason why. 80%, according to statistics, is that before their age 18 is when they give their heart to God. 50% of them decide to follow Jesus before age 12. In fact, it becomes harder for a person to decide to follow Christ after age 18. And how many knows you got to depend upon the Holy Spirit? Amen. But there's something as a person, when they get older, they begin to get calloused. How many older people am I relating to this morning? I'm getting on up there too. And you begin to get calloused, and all of a sudden, you can close yourself off to the message of the gospel. And we get this, been there, done that. You know what I mean? And we can get calloused, and we can get, we start to lose our creativity, our dream, our vision for life, because we get older. Man, I do not like getting older. How about you? But we've got to understand that we must reach children, and we must understand that it's important to reach the youth and the generation today. Listen, you may call them the church of tomorrow, but to me, they're the church of today. And it's important for us to invest in them. And listen, they don't need to just have church or know the message when they just come to church. They need to know it in their living room. They need to see it in their homes, in the atmosphere, in the culture of their home, to see, yes, the love of God is not just at church, but it's at home too. How many wants peace in their home? Of course. You want peace in your family. You want peace in your home. And so we must remember that there is a short window. We must reach the youth. We must show them that we care for them, that we want the best for them, that we want to touch the children, because, listen, Jesus accepted the children, as we will find out today in the Word of God. Jesus accepted the little children, right? Screaming, hollering, right? And today, you may hear some screaming, you might hear some hollering, you might hear something like that, but it's okay. They're in church, and they're here, and it's not like they're out there somewhere. They are here in the building, so praise God. Listen, if they start getting loud while I'm preaching, just grin and bear it, okay? And just pray for them, and just say they're just children, and thank God that they're here. Amen, church. So we need to love the children of the world, every child deserves to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. And see, there's a season in a person's life when they are most open to learning what it means to trust God. You know, the Bible says to everything there is a season, right? Have y'all heard that verse? To everything there is a season. And I believe that the season is ripe when you begin to reach out to a child with the gospel of Jesus Christ. From my experience, I was raised up with the gospel. I heard the gospel all the time. And because of that raising, listen, I had the Word of God impressed upon my heart. I had it impressed upon my heart. Have I sinned? Yes. Have I fell short of God's standard? Yes. But it has helped me. The Word of God has helped me from when I learned it as a kid and I grew up. It guided me. It gave me some guidelines. It helped me in my life. And see, listen, guys, the Word of God is not just ink and paper. The Word of God is alive. And I really believe that when we read the Word of God, when we open it up and we read it aloud and we study it, I really believe that it comes alive in us and it transforms us and it changes us. It is literally the power of God, and His power cannot be separated from His Word. And I believe that when we begin to read the Word of God to the children, when we begin to read the Word of God to ourselves, it's not just, for God so loved the world that He... No, there is something powerful that happens in your heart because His Word has power, according to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. So, let me ask you this question. How many adult problems would be solved if every preschooler who entered our churches left knowing they have a Heavenly Father who loves them? Knowing that they have someone there that is for them, that is there with them to lead them and guide them. Because children today, they need affirmation. They need that security in their life. They need that structure in their life. And I believe that the church can step in and be who God has called them to be a blessing to them. Children are ready to praise God. In Matthew chapter 21, there is a passage of scripture about children. And in Matthew chapter 21, verse 12, Matthew talks about the cleansing of the temple. Jesus cleanses the temple. And it says, "And then Jesus went into the temple of God and drove out all those who bought and sold in the temple and overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold doves. And He said to them, 'It is written, My house shall be called a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves.'" So there was two things that was a big problem here. The religious people were robbing God and the people. So don't rob people, okay? Maybe you already knew that. I don't know. Some of us may have not got that revelation. So don't steal from people and don't rob them. And you don't have to manipulate people, all right? Especially if you do it in the name of God, which has given church a bad name. So the religious people robbed God and they robbed people. And you know what else they did? They opposed children praising Jesus. They opposed them. Let's read on. Verse 14, "Then the blind and the lame came to Him in the temple and He healed them." By the way, for people who say, "I just don't know why people get emotional and jump up and down and run the aisles and get excited," you know, I don't see anywhere Jesus did that. But the people that Jesus touched did. So there's nothing wrong with praising God and being excited about God. Amen? All right, verse 15. It says, "But when the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things that He did and the children crying out in the temple saying, 'Hosanna to the Son of David,' they were mad." They were angry. They were indignant. "And said to Him, 'Do you hear what these children are saying?' And Jesus said to them, 'Yes, have you never read, out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you have ordained praise?" Or perfected praise. Isn't it something that God said that perfect praise is what comes out of a child's mouth? And it does it, and it blows me away to no end for people to say, "Oh, that child's been too loud about praising God." That child, on Wednesday nights when we take up prayer requests, do you know the ones who are most eager to lead us in prayer? Children. Grown-ups will say, "Not me. Not me, I don't want to do it, I don't want to do it." But I'm telling you, the kids here, they will take a step of faith and just say, "Me, I want to lead prayer, I want to pray, I want to pray." Guys, what's wrong with that? And what if we had the faith of a child that would say, "Me, me, me, me," right? And so God is calling us to have the faith, childlike faith, to say, "Here, Lord, right here, I want to obey You. I want to do what You tell me to do." Listen, when children praise the Lord, they become a part of that prophecy. When the children praise the Lord here, they become a part of that prophecy Jesus prophesied about. And I felt the Holy Spirit tell me the other day when I was studying this message, He says, "You need to let your children praise the Lord. And if there are no sound of children, there is no praise. And the strength of the church is found in the kids' praise." Go to Psalms chapter 8, verse 2. Jesus quoted the Word of God, and this is mentioned in the Old Testament. And I believe it's in Psalms chapter 8, verse 2. And Jesus quoted, and look here, He says, "And out of the mouth of children, you have ordained strength Do you know where the strength of the church comes from? It comes from Jesus, but look, the manifestation of the strength of God is found through children praising God. We have word for it. And because of your enemies, that you may silence the enemy and the avenger. You know, you can quiet the enemy by training up children to praise God. Somebody say amen. Children, when they begin to praise God, and Jesus quoted this verse, Jesus quoted this and said, look, I've already ordained praise in the children. You know what your job is? It's to draw it out of them. What did he say? You have ordained strength. And what did Jesus say? You have perfected praise in the mouth of children, nursing infants and babes. And so God has already perfected praise. The praise is already in the kids. The worship is already in them. God ordained it in them. But when we understand, wait a minute, we're here to draw that out of them and say, yeah, go ahead. Praise God. Go ahead. Right? And so, yeah, it's one thing. Yeah, you need to push them in other areas of their life. You need to encourage them. You need to push them. But how about let's push them into the things of God? How about we encourage them? Right? And not just your kids, but kids that belong to others, to any child, any kid, where you reach out to them with the love of God and with the mercy of God. We need to create a culture, we need to create an atmosphere where children are free to praise God. And you notice that Jesus cleansed the temple, and when Jesus cleansed the temple, that's when the children started praising God. Did y'all catch that? Jesus cleansed, and you know what? I believe that the church is not cleansed. It is not at the place where it needs to be if we're not allowing the children to obey God. And I believe that we need to let kids, children, obey the Lord and praise the Lord. So these religious people, they thought the kids needed to be quiet. They thought they needed to quit claiming that Jesus is the Messiah. And today there's people who don't want to invest in the children's ministry. You know what? People who don't care about children's ministry only care about today and not tomorrow. People who don't care about children, people who don't care about children's ministry, they just care about what's happening right now. They're not thinking 5 years down the road. They're not thinking 10 years down the road. We need to be thinking ahead. What does the future hold for the next generation? Well, the Lord's going to come back next year. What if he don't? What if he don't come back in 20 years? Well, have you seen how dark the world is? Yeah, it's been dark for a very long time. There's a lot of bad things that happen in this world. But we don't know when Jesus is coming back. So we need to live as though he may not come back for another 100 years and prepare the next generation to carry the torch of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. So we don't need to live as though, well, he's coming back again. I'm going to quit my job. I'm going to quit this. I'm going to quit that. You don't need to quit nothing. Jesus said, occupy till I come. That's what Jesus said. So we need to be prepared. We need to be planning. Everybody say vision. Right? You don't want to come to church without a vision, do you? Right? What if you came to church and there was no vision for the future? What are we here for? Right? So we got a vision. God gave us a vision. And without a vision, y'all want to quote that for me? Without a vision, the people perish. The people perish. So we got to have a vision for the next generation, for years down the road. And so it is a telling sign, right? There are people who are only thinking of today. We don't need to speak cursing over them. We need to speak life over them. Right? We don't need to be negative. We need to be positive. We need to lift the children up with our words. I read in Isaiah chapter 39, we'll start at verse 2. And in Isaiah chapter 39, verse 2, it says, and Hezekiah was pleased with them, with the Babylonians, and showed them the house of his treasures, the silver and gold, the spices and precious ointment, and all his armory, and all that was found among his treasures. And there was nothing in his house or in all his dominion that Hezekiah did not show them. And then Isaiah the prophet went to King Hezekiah and said to him, what did these men say, and from where did they come to you? And so Hezekiah said, they came to me from a far country, from Babylon. And he said, what have they seen in your house? And so Hezekiah answered, they have seen all that is in my house. There is nothing among my treasures that I have not shown them. Then Isaiah said to Hezekiah, hear the word of the Lord of hosts. Behold, the days are coming when all that is in your house and what your fathers have accumulated until this day shall be carried to Babylon, and nothing shall be left, says the Lord. And they shall take away some of your sons who will descend from you, whom you will beget. And they shall be eunuchs in the palace of the king of Babylon. Here's the key verse. Y'all listening this morning? So Hezekiah said to Isaiah, the word of the Lord which you have spoken is good. For he said, at least there will be peace and truth in my days. There's a lot of people today that have the Hezekiah syndrome. They say, as long as it's good in my day, I'll be gone by then. And the next generation, they'll just have to put up with all this stuff. And you know what? There's a generation now that's putting up with some of the junk that the generation before has left them. Can I preach the truth this morning? I said, can I preach the truth this morning? See, we've got to be willing to lift these children up and be positive, speak positive words over them, right? We don't need to be speaking, well, you're just going to mount to a hill of beans. You're not going to be anybody. You're just going to end up like somebody else. Who said you could, who gave you permission to say that over your child, right? And sometimes, and we don't mean nothing by it. We'll say, he's just as mean as a rattlesnake. Be careful, he might live up to that. I know we're just joking around and stuff, but be careful because kids take stuff to heart and they remember stuff and they will embarrass you. If you say something out of the way, they'll repeat it and they'll embarrass you, right? And so be careful what you say over them. Well, I was just joking. How many's ever heard that before? I'm just joking. But they don't think you're joking. They're taking you for real. And man, they'll take that into their heart. And man, you know what? And they'll live up to what you say. They will live up to what you say over them. And today, there are adults today that are still living up to what they have. They're still stuck there. But I'm here to tell you that Jesus is stronger than any of that. That when you trust in Jesus Christ, he will break all of that off your life. And you don't have to be stuck back then no more. You can let go, and the chains are broken. And you don't have to live. Listen, if somebody, you grown-ups, listen to this too. I'm grown-up. But y'all listen to this, right? If somebody speaks a cursing over you and speaks, well, you're not, and you might think I'm silly when I say this, you're never going to lose weight. You know what? You need to rebuke them in Jesus' name. You're never going to do this. You're never going to do that. You know what? Let them hate. Haters going to hate. I don't say that a lot. That is so out of my norm. But haters going to hate. Right? And they're going to say stuff. They're going to do stuff. But you got to say, I'm not accepting what you said. I'm not going to die, but I'm going to live and declare the word of the Lord. You need to start saying, my kid's going to preach the gospel. And whatever occupation he is, if he's a doctor, lawyer, factory worker, farmer, whatever, he's going to do it to the best of his ability. I believe in him. I have confidence in him and her, and God is going to have his way in their life. You got to speak the blessing. And when the father would bless the children in the Old Testament, he would lay their hands on them. Let me give you an example. Hallelujah. And bless them, and he would touch them, put his hands on their head, and he would bless them and speak the blessing over them. Have you spoken the blessing over your children, over your kids? I don't have any kids yet, but I've already spoken the blessing over them. And I said, praise God, I may not have kids right now, but when we have kids, they're going to be healthy. They're going to serve God. They're not going to live low. They're going to live high. They're going to have a vision. They're going to have a dream. They're going to grow up, and they're going to be loved, and they're going to be secure by the grace of God. Well, somebody get excited in here today. You got to speak life. You say, well, Pastor, it's hard to speak life with this negative world. Everybody's negative, 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 negative. Get positive. Shut it off. You know what I do? When there's something on TV, right? I watch these commercials. We got to get internet. But anyways, we got a TV antenna, and we're watching TV. Right? And all I see is just, gosh, all these commercials about medicine. This might be wrong with you. This could be wrong with you. There's something wrong with you. There's something wrong with you. I mean, every day I turn on the TV, they're telling me that there might be something wrong with me. I am so sick and tired of listening to these TV commercials telling me, you need to take this. If you have this, you may have this. You better consult your physician. You better consult your doctor. You know what I do now? I turn the channel. And that's what some of you need to do. You need to start turning the channel, and you need to do that to people. I'm telling you, there are
other people. You're just going to have, you say, well, I need to be in their life to change them. No, God will change them. You just got to separate yourself from that toxicity. Did I say that right? From those toxic people, those toxic emotions that say, I'm not going to be around that stupid negativity. I said that, didn't I? Amen. Can I get an amen this morning? We got to be positive. We got to speak life over our kids. We got to speak life over our spouse, over our children. We don't need to be negative. And we don't need to say, well, as long as there's peace and truth in my days. No, we want peace and truth in our children. Not just our children, but our grandchildren and our great-grandchildren and our great-great-great-great-great-grandchildren. Amen. And I believe that God will honor our prayers when we pray over our children, our generation. Amen. I believe God will honor that. And to be transparent this morning, which I'm transparent most of the time, and that is kind of dangerous to be transparent because somebody might judge me, you know. But you know what? I had this fear in my life. Man, I just don't know. Man, this world is a bad place. I don't know if I just want to bring a kid in this world. I just don't know if I just want to bring a child in this world. Man, it's a bad place. I don't want them to go through what I went through. Man, I really don't want them to go through the darkness. Man, I don't really want them to go through stuff. And man, I struggle that a lot. Man, I don't know. Man, I've been through a lot. I don't want them to go through that pain. I don't want them to go through that heartache. And I've talked to a few of you about that. But the Lord began to deal with me. And he said, I ordained humanity to be fruitful. This is the word. This is the Bible. I ordained humanity to be fruitful and multiply. Somebody say, praise the Lord. So he ordained humanity to do that. And so God began to speak to me, and he said, where is your faith in me? Do you not believe that I can take care of your kid if you'll ask me? Do you not believe? Do you not believe I'll take care of him? Do you not believe? Do you think I'm just some small God out in the universe who's small and doesn't really care about your children, doesn't really care about your family, doesn't really care? And the Lord just began to really lay it on me. You know, you don't need to live in fear. You don't need to live in anxiety and fear about things. You need, listen, God told me, he said, you're going to have a kid whether you like it or not. If I've ordained it, you're going to have a kid. Yeah. Amen. Hallelujah. That was very transparent this morning. But how many knows it's important to be relatable? Relatable. And the Lord began to speak to me. He said, where's your faith? You need to start believing I'm big enough. You need to start believing this, right? And I know y'all are ready for me and Danielle to have children. Hallelujah. There's not a day goes by when you all are going to have kids. There's not a day that goes by when you all are going to have children. Amen. We'll let you know. Y'all will be one of the first ones to know. Hallelujah. And so God doesn't want us to live in fear, right? Have you ever worried about your children? You just told me you sinned. Y'all with me? Right? But sometimes we can't help it, right? We're worried. We just worry about our children. We have a concern for them, right? Right? Well, you know what we need to do? We need to just lift them up to the Lord and just say, you know, Lord, I lift my children up to you. You're the one that takes care of them. Yes, Lord, I'm not perfect. Sometimes worry does get in my mind sometimes, but I'm going to lift them up to you, and I give them to you. You're the one that will take care of them. And Lord, help me do my part. And that's my prayer, and I hope that's your prayer too. Lord, help me do my part, right? Help me do my part. That's what God has called us to do. God wants us to confess the blessing over our children. Psalms chapter 127 verse 3 says that children are a heritage from the Lord. They're a heritage from the Lord. And you know, these children, these kids that was hollering, Hosanna to the Son of David, Hosanna. Man, they still had diapers on. You know, with me? Man, they had Lego blocks in their hands. They were running. They were just little kids. They were crying. Some of them were crying. Some of them were laughing. Kids. You know what? I don't care if those kids, if they're mean or not mean, thank God they're here. Kids get on my nerves. Well, you get on my nerves sometimes too. Are y'all with me this morning? Aaron, somebody's going to get on your nerves. All right? It's just going to happen. It's just part of life. They're going to say stuff. It's just going to get on your nerves. It's just going to be, ah! How many's ever been there? We've all been there. Some of you not being honest with me this morning. But God says, I want you to love them, and I want you to care for them, and I want you to raise them up. And you know where the love of God is really shown? The love of God is really shown even when you love the children. You love them as your own, and they're not even yours, but you love them as your own. Y'all with me? You love them as your own. And today, we do have blended families. It is. It's an occurrence. It happens. We have blended families. But what an expression of the love of God to see a dad and a mom begin to love their children like they're their own. What an expression of the love of God. Amen, church. So it's a blessing for me to see a blended family come together and begin to take that child as their own. It's a blessing. What an expression of God's love. And so we need to raise these children up in the supernatural presence of God, in God's presence. Have you noticed, I want to ask y'all a question, have you noticed that when a child praises God, people really pay attention? Have you noticed that when a child prays, everybody's like, well, that kid's praying. And they're quiet, man, somebody taught that kid how to pray. People pay attention. And you know what we read a while ago? That the enemy is silenced when a child praises God. Do y'all remember reading that in Psalms 8? The enemy, the avenger, silenced when children begin to praise the name of Jesus Christ. See, children also need to be positioned to praise the Lord. John chapter 6. This is about the little lad. How many's ever read about the five loaves and two sardines? Right? Two fish. John chapter 6. In John chapter 6, and I don't know what verse it is. We'll just start at verse 1. It says, and after these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias, and then a great multitude followed him because they saw his signs which he performed on those who were diseased. And Jesus went up on the mountain, so Jesus healed people that had the disease. All right. And Jesus went up on the mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. And now the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was near. Then Jesus lifted up his eyes, and seeing a great multitude coming toward him, he said to Philip, where shall we buy bread that these may eat? But this he said to test him, for he himself knew what he would do. Ain't that something? So Jesus is asking someone. He already knows what they're going to do, but he's asking them the question anyways. All right, verse 7. And then Philip answered, 200 denarii worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may have a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, there is a lad, a young boy, a little child, a kid, who is here who has five barley loaves and two small fish, but what are they among so many? I pray that we don't have that view of children's ministry, but what are they among so many? So a little kid is willing to give up his lunch to feed 5,000 people. No wonder Jesus said, to enter the kingdom of God, you must have the faith as a small child. As a small kid, small child. And a little lad, here you go, Jesus. And let me tell you something, what you give to God, he'll multiply it. Here you go, Lord. And the Lord multiplied it. But you know what? How did the little young boy get in that great multitude? Somebody led him there. Somebody positioned that little kid to be in the presence of Jesus. Did y'all catch that? Did y'all catch that? See, it's not just about your kids. It's about the kids in the world, in this community, the children in this area. And we begin to reach out to them through many avenues, vacation Bible school, children's ministry, knocking on doors, however we reach them. And we begin to bring them and position them to receive from God. That's what God has called us to do. Somebody led that young lad to be in that great multitude. And look what the child did. The child said, here's my lunch. Here you go. Have this, Jesus. But what are they among so many? Are we willing to do what he did, right? Are we willing to do that? We need to create an environment in our church, in our home, where our family can praise God. And children need to hear of what God has done. Judges 2:10. And this is actually a warning, a verse of warning to us. And this is when Israel had judges. They didn't have kings, but they had judges there. And in Judges 2:10, there was a terrible thing that happened here. Let's read it. And when all that generation had been gathered to their fathers, another generation arose after them who did not know. Y'all see that? They didn't know the Lord, nor the work which he had done for Israel. Now, I want to ask y'all a question. Why did that generation not know the Lord? Because that generation didn't pass on the stories. See, that generation should have known about the Red Sea parting. That generation should have not heard about the manna falling down from heaven and God feeding them. That generation should have heard all those stories and all those miracles and all those healings that took place in the past. You need some experiences with God so you can share memories, so you can share the history of God, so that the children can have a future. Are y'all listening, hearing me today? I hope you are. And God is wanting us to share our memories to the children, to the generation coming up. Share all the, man, I heard stories growing up about people getting touched by God, getting healed by God, right? And when I heard those stories, the power of God was infused in me. And so we have a responsibility to share what God has done for us to our children, to our kids, and say, son, let me tell you what God done for me. Let me tell you how God worked in my life, right? And as they get older, you can be a little bit more transparent with them and let them know what you've been through and what's happened to you and say, look, God still loves me and God's still working in my life. I've seen God heal. I've seen God work miracles. Are you sharing your stories? Are you sharing your memories of what God has done for you to the next generation? Pass down your story to your children. Let them hear how God saved you from sin. Let them hear you pray. Let them hear you pray. Don't let the children say, well, I never heard about God and we never went to church. Don't let them say that. And for those of you, maybe back then you didn't take them to church, listen, you got to forgive yourself and accept the forgiveness from God and say, Lord, I know I didn't do right then, but Lord, I have a new slate now. I have a new life now. And I'm here to tell you that, listen, I've heard people say this. It's too late now. It's too late. I've done messed up with my kids. I've done messed up with my family. It's too late. I'm never going to get all that back. I'm never going to get all that back. Let me tell you something. God is greater than that mentality and that belief. And God, listen, God will restore way back more to you than you ever could have done in those years. And I hear people say, they say that. It's too late. I'm too old. It's too late to do good for my family. I've done my family wrong and it's too late. It's not too late. That's a lie from hell. It's never too late. Never. You say, well, if you knew what I did, if you knew who I was and what I've done, listen, you got to forgive yourself and you got to accept God's forgiveness and move on and say, I love my kids today. I love my family today. Yes, I did things that wasn't right before, but I have a new life now. I'm a new creation now. And God, you know what God will do? He will take all that stuff in the past that you thought was bad and he'll somehow intertwine it and connect that past with your future, and somehow it'll be a part of your story, and your family will be strong as they ever was. Your children will be as strong as they ever was, because you understand that God creates his purpose for you through your pain, through your past, through your failures, through your flaws. He will give you a plan and a purpose no matter what you've done. If you've been divorced, he'll still give you a purpose and a plan for your life. Even if you're divorced, he'll still give you hope. Give you hope. He'll give you hope. And there's grace for you, and it's not too late. You know, in the Bible, there is a parable of the vineyard. And this man, and I can't remember it word for word, but you're listening to a pastor. Don't remember if it's a passage of scripture word for word. But in this parable, There was three people who worked, and this first person, he came to work for the all day long. I'm just going to say it in my way, but it's still the same thing, okay? So he comes in at 6 o'clock in the morning, and he goes to work on the vineyard, and he's working. He's working all day. Then the other guy comes in at 12 o'clock. He comes to work late, and he works all the way till 5 o'clock. And the guy, the third guy, he shows up at 4 o'clock and works for only 1 hour. And you know what the boss does? The boss comes in and says, you're all getting paid the same. Now, I don't know about you, but today, I don't know too many bosses, too many supervisors that will actually pay you for 1 hour of work for, say, 6 o'clock, right? You can do the math. Amen? Do you know what point I'm getting to? It doesn't matter where you start as long as you finish. It doesn't matter what time you came in. God will restore and give you the same reward and even a greater reward. And he'll take all that you've done in your past and he'll connect it to the purpose he has for you. That's good. That ought to give you hope. You should be getting on the roof shouting and dancing and running right now because a lot of us have done some stuff we shouldn't have done, but praise God, he is a God of grace, a God of mercy, and he'll take all the pain we've been through and all the flaws and all the failures, and he'll somehow work it into our purpose. Hallelujah. See, I'm not talking about passing down religion. I'm talking about passing down the stories of how God has worked in your life. And God has a future and a hope for this church. Listen, we've been through some hard times as a church, haven't we? My Lord, man, sometimes I felt like I didn't know if I was going to make it or not. But praise God, God still works. And God is going to have somebody to praise him. And listen, through the pain that this church has been through and through the things this church has been through, God still has a hope and a future for this church, for these people, to reach the community. Listen, we're not just, I know we're out in the country, I know we're in a rural area, but nothing is too hard for God. We can pay this building off. We can do the will of God. And I'm getting excited, way more excited than some of us are right now. But there's a future for your family. You got to get a vision for your life. You got to get a vision for your future. You got to get a vision for your marriage. You got to get a vision for your family. You got to get a vision. Amen. We want the children to know the true gospel of Jesus Christ, and they will be blessed to be a blessing. Right? We don't need children remembering how much we argue at each other. We don't need children to remember. Well, every time my dad went to church, we were all fussing at each other. Nobody could get along. Well, I'm here to tell you, those days are over with. Those days are over with. No more are we going to come to church and say, somebody ain't getting along with this person, they ain't getting along with that person. And you know what? That kid could grow up and say, man, I'm just tired of religion. How many's ever heard that? I've heard that a lot, right? But praise God, we don't have the spirit of religion. We've got a relationship with Jesus Christ. We are not called to argue with each other. We are called to torment the devil. We are born again to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. It doesn't matter what people wear. It doesn't matter what they've done. It doesn't matter where they came from. Single dad, single mom. It doesn't matter. Jesus loves you the same, and he has a purpose and a plan for your life. Amen, church. As you can tell, I'm very passionate about this message. Jesus loves the little children of the world. Jesus loves us. And we want them exposed to the real presence of Jesus Christ. Amen? Because one day, you're going to get 18. And you might reach a place of independence. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And then later on, it's like, what in the world? A light bill? What in the world? A utility bill? What? You know what? We can just pray, thank God, give them wisdom. When they get 18, they'll have the wisdom of a 60-year-old. Amen? And I know some 60-year-olds need more wisdom too. But what we need to say is, Lord, give them wisdom of Jesus Christ. That's what we need to say. Amen? Let the children praise God. Well, children's ministry is not my thing. Well, why not? Right? You may not be involved, you may not volunteer, but you can at least pray. Amen? Well, it's just the children. We don't need to show up. Well, what's important to you then? You? Preach. Can I get amen in the house today? Amen. Jesus loves the little children of the world. Well, it don't involve me. Well, praise the Lord. God has called us to be selfless, not selfish. Amen? Man, let's preach the gospel. Let's not back down from the gospel. Let's just keep going for God. Can we do that? Are you going for God? Are you ready to keep going for God and march toward Jesus Christ and say, praise God, as for me. Y'all want to say that with me? As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Amen. You want to say that one more time? As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Can you feel the love here today? The love of Jesus Christ is for everyone. And what a blessing it is to say, hey, we're not carrying the gavel. We're just pointing you to the cross. And we're going to let the generation next know how powerful God is. Amen? So I'm not here with judgment. Nobody's here with judgment. We're here to love you. We're here to pray with you. And we're here to bless God. Amen? Hallelujah. Y'all received the word today? Let's all stand together. Praise the Lord.